The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed in the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Welcome. Good to be back on. Missed yesterday, and you know what? I'm putting it out there, and I haven't even talked to him yet because this time of year is crazy. I got to be in Jacksonville, Florida tomorrow to get ready for the MTV2 live semifinals for the Lingerie Football League, which, guys, tune in to MTV2 on Saturday. I think it's 6 o'clock Eastern time. Being there, the doubleheader, it's Chicago against L.A. and Philadelphia against Tampa. And let me explain to you, for a guy who's been in football as long as I've been in it, when I first decided to take this on, I thought, okay, where is it going to air? And then MTV, I thought, well, MTV2, great. People love it. And I want you to tune in if you get a chance on Saturday, and you're going to a doubleheader in Jacksonville for the playoffs to see who goes to the lingerie championship. You'll be fascinated. Oh, yeah, great-looking girls and the rest of it. And matter of fact, I think the Lingerie Football League this month has the LFL Playboy. I think they have the Playboy edition. I think it's out. I think they're on the cover. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm pretty sure they are. But forget all that. You know, they're basically in boy shorts and playing, and at first you'll say, oh, hot women. But the truth is, when you get right down to it, it's great football. I have a friend of mine who is female who watches it and says, you know what, after a couple minutes, you're not even looking at the outfits. And believe me, they're tough. They far less pads than the guys and hit hard, considering the poundage. And you'll watch a girl like Liz Gorman, who's playing for Tampa. She is about 5'3", 5'4", 120 pounds, and plays safety with the defensive MVP last year. She'll knock the living hell right out of you. You watch. And Mary Rose Roach in this game for Philadelphia, a girl named Ashley Salerno, the quarterback for Los Angeles, played on the guys' team in high school. I believe it was Chino Hills. So I got to take off tomorrow and go and prepare for production meeting. So I got to put it out there. I don't know if Anthony's listening today, but I want to turn it over to you, Anthony, because you started out with this show before everybody. Love to have you guest host tomorrow for 2 hours. Love to have it, if you could. All your show. Your show for 2 hours. If you want to guest host, I think it'd be great. It'd be great. You know your sports. I don't know what your work schedule is, but if you'd like to, bam, love to have you. So I'm throwing that out there. And because my plane leaves early in the morning, but this week and next week, most of the show next week should be on the whole time, except maybe one day, depending on appearances and stuff during Super Bowl week. But Anthony Peranio, I'd love to have you do it next week if you'd like. But tune in on Saturday, folks. You'd be amazed. This isn't just like a bunch of girls running around with fingernails and looking hot. Now there's that too, but they play football, and you will be fascinated at how good these girls are. Fascinated. I am, and that's the reason I did it. Hey, you can look at good-looking girls anywhere, but to watch them play football and throw and run and tackle and understand, and they got, you know, like Gil Murphy's the coach of Tampa, and he played under Mike Martz. You'll see a lot of different systems, special, fun to watch, but great football will be played. So I believe it's 6 Eastern. You can check on MTV2 when the first game starts. It'll be, I think it's L.A., Chicago, followed by Tampa and Philadelphia, the four best teams in the league, and some really, really special football players, and I think you'll love it once you tune in. So, Anthony, if you're out there, love to have you guest host tomorrow. It'll be all yours for 2 hours. And if you got a buddy that you want to have come on with you, you can do that too. But I'm giving you that form because you've earned it. You're my very first guy on the show, and I'll reward you with it, and you do a great job. So if anybody knows Anthony is listening, hopefully he'll listen and see he gets it tomorrow. We'll hit a lot of basketball. Well, not a little basketball, but one in particular. And I'm a huge fan and have been. And he's the best player in college basketball on the offensive end. It's Jimmer Fredette. He carved San Diego State up last night for 43 points, 5 of 8 from the three-point line. BYU upset San Diego State 71-58. The guy is sick good. The guy is sick good. And you can't cover him. You can't cover him. He in the last four games, he's averaging 38 points a game. He gets to the rim. He'll pull up and hit three. Tremendous touch. Best player BYU's had since Danny Ainge. And maybe better, because I think he's a better shooter than Danny. I do. This kid is off the charts good. Off the charts good. And I know Sean Bradley was there, and he was a high pick at 7'6". But his pro career didn't pan out. I know that Fred Roberts, high pick out of BYU. I know that, who else? Fred Roberts. Let's see, who else was there? Devin Durant, the high school All-American, went to BYU. This kid is, without question, I think the best player since Danny Ainge has been there and is going to have a huge impact at the next level. I think he's special. He's leads NC2A in scoring at 27-4, but get to the rim, great body control, uses both his left and right hand. If you missed him last night, this is an unbelievable player. Unbelievable player. And you got to get a look. And was he fun to watch. Is he really good? And San Diego State got hammered by BYU and basically a one-man show with Jimmer Fredette. So if you haven't, like I said, anybody on the East Coast, you're like, oh, man, you know, who watches BYU basketball? Well, they're a top 10 team right now. And with Fredette, they're the type of team who rolls through and wins three games in the NC2A tournament because they got a guy who can carry on his back. That's how good he is. And that's why I wanted to start a show. You never hear about it. BYU, and everybody talks about, well, BYU's not, you know, who's BYU? People don't know. Well, you better start to recognize, because San Diego State is a damn good Final Four caliber type team, and Fredette completely annihilated them. Completely annihilated them. So it was fun to watch, and we'll talk more about it. If you didn't get to see him, man alive, you missed a treat. Great, great player. And NFL-wise today, we're going to talk. The number is 888-346-9144. We're going to talk about, obviously, start to talk a little bit about and tease some injuries. Word is Pouncey, he did not practice Wednesday. This is a very, very difficult situation. And if you do not have Marquise Pouncey for this game, the center, I'm going to tell you exactly why it's really difficult as a quarterback and as an offense. Every good team in the NFL, in Major League Baseball, good team now, championship caliber team, is strong up the middle. You've heard it before. It's not cliche. It's true. You take a look at these two teams in this thing. They're strong up the middle on defense, offense, right through to the safety, Nick Collins, the inside linebacker, right down to the center, to the quarterback. They're, you know, Kuhn back in the backfield. Then you look at Pittsburgh, Roethlisberger, Pouncey's a Pro Bowler. You go right up the middle of the line, inside linebackers, Larry Foote. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. This day, or James Ferrier, should I say. They're special, the quarterback. You have to have it. And remember what happened. It could have cost them, and almost did. Cost them a safety. But think about laying the ball on the ground. Laying the ball on the ground. When the quarterback's under center, the backup center didn't even hit Roethlisberger's hands when the ball was laid down. So you've got to sew that up. Because the center now coming off the bench, a backup center, think, okay, I got a couple weeks to prepare. I got to step my game up. I'm worried about blocking this defensive tackle and reaching and getting to the linebacker. And you almost forget that you have to snap the ball. And you can't start a play without the ball being snapped. Underrated, and if Pouncey, you know, the whole situation, underrated situation if, in fact, you're playing with your backup center. It will not be as easy. And the last thing a quarterback wants, like, I can remember we had tall centers, and I was a guy who didn't, just speaking for myself, didn't want to have to bend over so far that you're almost squatting down, like taking the option handoff or taking the option snap from a center, you're that low. You want to stand tall and see it. So there's nothing worse than having to get down. So depending on how the center's butt is and certain centers, and if you have to adjust that, it's no fun. You want a quarterback to be as comfortable as he was all year long. You want the center's ass, in the right position. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm not being a smartass. I'm being serious. So you're comfortable to see the defense. Certain centers, some are shorter than others. I've had centers where you had to bend down so far because they like to lower their ass so they can look up at the linebacker. So you're basically down there almost on your knees taking the snap. And then there's the tall ones that have, you know, big bodies, but also stand tall and play tall. So you don't have to, you only have a slight flex in your knee, and now you can see everything and come right out of your stance. So I love that part of it. And this is an underrated situation. And not only the fact that you got Pouncey, a Pro Bowler, who's a special, special talent. So the fall off in talent from second, from one to two is big enough. Now you got to worry about getting the center snap and running the offense. Very, very underrated statistic in this game. There was talk yesterday, but apparently the Green Bay Packers have decided to let it happen. Nick Barnett, the Ryan Grants, the Finleys, to allow them in the team picture. I had tweeted yesterday, and at one point the Packers were not going to allow them to be in the team photo. And it would have caused major controversy, and you say, well, that's a small deal. No, it's not. Because I'd say in the NFL, you ain't getting back. Now, the Packers may get back, Steelers may get back, but who, when you talk about a Nick Barnett, Finley was their best tight end and was a Pro Bowl caliber. This is a special, special talent tight end. Nick Barnett's been their best defensive player until Clay Matthews came to town for years. Ryan Grant, obviously a runner. You can't keep your injured reserve people out of the team Super Bowl picture. And so I tweeted about it, and then all of a sudden, boom, a few minutes later, all of a sudden it comes up, and I see that they are going to allow them in the team picture, unless today they've changed their mind this morning, which is a wise move. Those guys deserve to be in the team picture and should have been in the team picture and should be. It shouldn't even be a question, because now you're going to divide a locker room. Oh, Nick Barnett, because he didn't play this year, doesn't deserve to be a part of it when he's been a part of the franchise for years? No, don't agree with it. That would have been a huge mistake by the Green Bay Packers and the front office and coaching staff. Because you know what? People practice and they leave it out on the field and they sell out. They should be out there. They should be out there. We'll also talk about something I've wanted to hit hard, and we're going to hit it, is do you guys feel, as fans, well, just, you know what, not just fans, tell me how you feel about this, the lockout. It doesn't look good right now. You know, the Damari Smith said that he'll take 68 cents if they get the deal done by the Super Bowl, which isn't going to happen. The other side of that is that Roger Goodell said if they do lock out during the season, he'll take, if there's no season, his salary will be a dollar, which we've seen CEOs do that before with stock options and the rest, and that's a good move by both leaders of their union, the owners and the players. This is getting scary now because players aren't going to budge, I don't think. And I think the players hold the cards because the NFL with sponsors, TV money, I don't think they can afford to sit out. I just don't. Financially, the owners can. They make more money than the players. But I don't think they can afford to sit out with the reputation what will happen. Now, people will come back. Football is unique. It's almost like it's like a religion. People can't go without it. It's strange. If the players want to make an impact, like I've said before, go ahead and strike. Strike on Tuesday, media day. Put that threat out there. Don't show up to media day. Don't show up to media day next Tuesday, Green Bay and Pittsburgh. You want solidarity? Prove to the world when they go out there to media day and the media stand around, you guys just don't show up. Nobody can make you. They can fine you. Big deal. Don't show up. And watch how quickly the owners and the players get to the table and try to get it done. And threaten to strike that you're not going to play in the Super Bowl. Now people are going to say, oh, that's stupid. It's the biggest game of your life. They're going to play the Super Bowl. Because even let's say even that the players struck and weren't going to, you know, did have a strike and did not play this weekend. Or next weekend, should I say. Oh, they'll make sure they get it in the next week. I mean, you can threaten the strike, but if you don't show up to media day and strike, do you know how quickly they'll get to the table and try to get it done during that week? And the scare that you'll put into sponsors and TV and everybody else if the players don't show up to media day? I think it's let me pat myself on the back. I think it's an ingenious idea. You're not missing practice. It's media day. You'll send a message that says these guys are serious. Plus, both Pittsburgh and Green Bay, you're not going to get anybody to sound off or talk bad anyway. They're both going to be very professional about it. Strike media day. Hold it out. Don't show up to media day. Show your solidarity to the owners and to the fans and everybody else. Don't show up. and watch the impact and watch how quickly a bunch of grown men who can't come to an agreement sit down, excuse me, at the table and try to hash out an agreement. Watch how fast it happens if, in fact, you decide not to show up for media day. Faster than you could ever imagine. But in all this, you fans are the ones, overall, who are going to get dogged out. Either way, they come back, you're going to get charged more. They don't come back, you miss football. And then when they do come back, you're going to get charged more. So in the end, you're getting screwed all the way around. There's not going to be any bonuses for you or any treats for you. They're not giving you 2-for-1 hot dogs or 3-for-1 beers. You're not getting that. They may raise your beer price by $2 a beer. You're not getting it. Unique thing about both these two teams, just to show you they're not going to talk, neither the Steelers nor the Packers have cheerleaders. Neither one does. Interesting, huh? No cheerleaders. You won't see any cheerleaders cheering on the sidelines unless they bring in high school cheerleaders to give them an opportunity to have some fun and to reach their dream to be on the sidelines doing it for a Super Bowl game. But you're not. Neither team has cheerleaders. But you guys get screwed in this either way with the possible lockout looming. And word is that the players are preparing for the lockout, that they've been told that this could be a long time. So what are your feelings on it at 888-346-9144? You have any? You have any? You can sit there and say, well, it's not going to happen. These are very real. I've been in one. And they get damn ugly real fast. They're not fun, and they are as real as it gets. And they're not fun for everybody involved. And I know the first thing people are going to say is, who cares if the players, all the money they make, but it's relative to what you do, folks. I mean, if you're making $20 million a year, you're probably spending 15 of it, knowing the way I know athletes. I mean, I've seen it happen. The rich people can go broke just as fast as poor people can. The more they make, the more they spend. And anytime something's taken away from you, it's a bit of panic. And there will be major panic, sponsors, all of it. But can you imagine the impact that would be made if, in fact, they decided to strike Media Day and threaten that the players were not going to play in the Super Bowl this year? Like I said, fans, don't panic. You're going to get your Super Bowl. But I'll bet you could get a Super Bowl and a deal worked out faster if the players just didn't show up at Media Day. If I was the head of the union, I would suggest that to both teams. Don't show up at Media Day. Depending on how you, I don't want to. I'd say it. I don't want to take away your focus from what you do. But if you want to make an impact, if you want to do both, get them over and still play in a Super Bowl where you're not missing a day of practice because of Media Day. Strike Media Day. Just don't show up. I personally, as a media guy, I could care less if they have Media Day or not. Those things, though, I won't go. I'm not going to Media Day. I used to have to cover it year in and year out for, 8, 9, 10 years or something for ESPN. And, you know, it had its fun, and you get comments, and you see all your buddies and the media and on the field and players. I got no interest in covering it. I don't care what they say. They still got to line up and play. It'd give me a lot more to say if the players decided to strike and not show up for Media Day without letting anybody know. Now, that would be cool. And it would end this disagreement in a heartbeat. 888-346-9144. Did you see Jimmer Fredette? I think he's the best offensive player in college basketball. And the way he's playing, I'm not so sure considering the team. And he doesn't have other players around him. I have Sullinger, and I know Kemba Walker. This is the best offensive player in college basketball and deserves to be an MVP Player of the Year candidate. Sure does. 888-346-9144. Do you, the fan, have a problem with this strike? What will it do to you if the players walk and the owners and they don't play a season next year? What will it do to you? And the injuries, how are you feeling about the game? I know we're still time away, but you Steeler and Packer fans, are you feeling a little bit? Are you starting to feel it? Your nerves getting shot. We'll be right back. We're talking football, all things football, and anywhere you want to go. Tiger Woods teeing off today, his first tournament of the year. How will he bounce back after a really, really rough year? This is Voice America Sports.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, man. It's good to be here. College basketball is in full swing. I love, like, Big Monday and Super Tuesday in college basketball. I know everybody's focused on the Super Bowl, but, man, I love this. I love this stuff. There's so many sidebars on the Super Bowl. Now we're talking about Dick LeBeau's future. Is he going to leave? Hines Ward, is he going to retire? Guys, I don't know. Very few players I know. Very few players I know go out on, when I say go out on top, meaning go out when they still got plenty of game left. John Elway, Jim Brown, Barry Sanders. Guys, I'm not sure. Name me five more. Now, I know there's others that could have played longer. That could have played longer. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking simply about those that could have played longer at the top of their game, like Pro Bowl caliber players, and overdid their welcome. Most of them do. Hines Ward still got game. See, because Hines Ward can make a difference without catching 10 balls in a game. A lot of receivers can't. Hines does so many other things. He's a special player. And he cares so much. I think he's so competitive. If his body's healthy, I see him coming back. But you know what? He may walk. But I also see Hines Ward being one of those guys, when he does walk, he's done. See, I think he'd be a heck of a – if I was a head coach – and then Hines Ward left, I'd hire him as my wide receiver coach right the second he got out of school. I mean, retired. I would not let him get comfortable going home and relax for a while. I'd say, come and coach my wide receivers, please. Because he knows how to teach them to block. He knows how to teach them to be competitive right then and there. He'd have a job with me the second he was done. Matter of fact, he, out of all the guys I know receiver-wise, that are guys that aren't experienced coaches, which I think that can be, I mean, he played, he understands, and he's a student of the game. If I was a coach, I'd call him right now and say, when you retire, dude, come coach my wide receivers. I need that attitude, and I think he'd do great. I think the fact that he'd been a coach for 20 years, well, that's fine, but I know I can coach, and I have never per se been a coach under contract for an NFL or college team, but once you walk off and understand what your coach wants, you coach. Once you're on the field, you're coaching and doing the right thing. So I'd hire him in a second. That being said, how many players walk off the field next week? How many players walk off the field? And we'll have a bunch of guests next week. You know, Simeon Rice is going to join me. He's like behind the scenes of a movie, a short documentary he's putting out. I think Sim went to film school, so we're going to get him on. A good buddy of mine, talk about the pass rushers. We'll get him on early next week, hopefully Tuesday, I think. And we'll grab some other friends. But speaking of which, did it, Junior Seau, one of my very dear friends. Junior played more years. I mean, he kept playing and playing until his body, and his body's still in good shape. Either you play till nobody else wants you, or you play till body can't go. I don't know many guys that walked out away from that kind of money. I just don't, folks. I don't know many people that would do it. So with Hines Ward, when there's going to be 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 minutes, whatever it's going to be on the table, it'd be very difficult to walk away. Another Super Bowl, he doesn't have anything to prove team-wise. It'll be his, what, third Super Bowl ring if he wins. But you start to think about it, will he walk away? I hope not. NFL's better with Hines Ward in it. Defenses have to be alert. But I don't know many people. I know if Barry Sanders would have played, he'd have the running back record maybe darn near out of reach for yards in a season. He'd have put it about 4,000 or 5,000 more yards than is on there now. That's how good that guy was. Can you imagine taking Barry and sticking him with the Dallas Cowboys offensive line during that time, as opposed to the offensive lines he was on and the teams he was on, and still look at what he did? And speaking of guys not going out on top or going out on top, and when they decide to walk away, my guy, who was a teammate of mine, and he's a friend, Herschel Walker, says, and is thinking about it, says that he can still play in the NFL at 48. Now, I do know this, guys. I know what kind of body he has and what kind of shape he's in. I've seen it, and I was a teammate of his. He's in tremendous shape, special. He's a freak when it comes to that. He just is. At 48 years old, he believes he can help a team. The question is, at 48, does the body respond like it would? Now, nobody's obviously going to make him the workhorse, but could he return? He says he's running in the high 4.3s and that he's in as good a shape now as he was when he played. I don't know. I mean, makes for a thing. Would you give him a shot if you're an NFL team? It couldn't hurt to bring him to training camp, could it? I don't know. I really don't know if he can make a team and contribute. I don't know, because I don't know the punishment. I know one thing. It's like when a player is hell holds out of training camp and says he worked his butt off, been in the weight room, and comes to training camp in great shape. What ends up happening, though, is about the first week they pull a hamstring or they're hurt, because there's a different intensity when it comes to, one, playing when you're just exercising off the field. But there's another intensity when you got to gear it up and play on the field. That's when it's a problem. So I don't know how much punishment Herschel can actually take. I think it's a great PR move for the NFL or for him if he wants to try it. But if they lock out, it won't matter, because that'll put him behind another year. Can he at 48 play running back in this league? He says he can. And not only play, but help a team. That's lofty, lofty stuff. But, hey, I've seen his body, and I know what it's about, and I know how he trains it. So, could happen. Could happen. I think it's interesting. I mean, you think, well, why would you want to? But Herschel's about that kind of stuff. He likes that. You know, he's into that in challenging himself at a different level, and more power to him. If he can pull that off, it'd make for one hell of a story in the NFL. Make for one hell of an NFL story. And I'm sure great pride in his life. But do you fans feel? It'd be a fun poll, which guy that's retired. Well, it's cash for Herschel. It's been 10 years. I don't even know when the last time he played. Like I said, he's a teammate of mine in Minnesota. I'm wondering which guy that's retired the last 5 years could actually come back and play. I'm wondering what guy could actually come back and play. Wonder who could do that. You think a quarterback maybe, because he could be a backup and help out. That's younger but could still play. I'm talking not forced retirement where nobody wants him. I'm talking about a really good player that could come back and play. I know people are going to say, well, maybe Jerry Rice could. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jerry could. His work ethic, he probably could. I don't think Jerry'd want to. Maybe he would. And even Jerry Rice. Look at the names. Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, I mean, a lot of these guys stayed around longer than they could have, and a lot of guys that were hurt, Aikman, Steve Young, wish they could have played longer. Emmitt Smith wanted to play longer. Most of them do. Most of them do. We all, like I said, most of us got to be dragged off the field. It's usually forced retirement as opposed to retirement. Wonder out there who could do the Herschel Walker thing. I know I was teammates of Warren Moon when he was in his 40s, still throwing it as good as guys in his 20s. It's just, is the body able to take the punishment? Hell, I can still throw it and think it better than I could then. Just don't want to move it and take a hit. But I also want to talk about Tiger Woods, guys. You don't have to necessarily be in golf, but how's it going to affect him? How has your feelings changed on him? At 888-346-9144. So the NFL talk of, let's get this in, the NFL talk is how it's going to affect you and how you'll feel if they do lock out and how we get it fixed. Do you disagree with me? If you were the players, would you strike the media day just to send a message since it's not affecting your preparation? Would you, the Steelers and the Green Bay Packers, sit down and say, let's strike media day to change the perception of the NFL owners? Would that work? And what's your perception of Tiger Woods? Today's perception day. He starts his first tournament. What is your perception of Tiger Woods? Are you bothered that he didn't break a law, but he broke a moral law? Have you guys ever cheated on a wife or a girlfriend? It obviously affected his game because he didn't win last year. He says his priorities have changed, where his priority is obviously his kids and doing different things, and golf just kind of falls down the list. Remember, a lot of people said when he got married, I know he played good, but when you get married, I said maybe even it was Jack Nicklaus, and Jack said he'll have a good woman around, but your priorities change. And so will he be able to chase down Jack for all those majors? Will Tiger Woods, who's now third-ranked player in the world, isn't it amazing still, after not winning a tournament last year, he still is the third-ranked player in the world. Will Tiger Woods be so relaxed now, after a bad year, that he'll be able to come out and play lights out and we can see him run off 2, 3, 4 wins in a row and be better than the old Tiger Woods? Or have we seen the best of Tiger Woods? I'm anxious. I don't know. He went through some major, major issues, obviously, well documented. And that's not even really my thing. I mean, they, you know, had their issues and why he cheated and all that. I mean, that's, you know what, only the person knows who's doing it, why they do it. I mean, you know, and all of us are guilty of something, some big, some small. I'm not talking about cheating. I'm talking about in your life, we all have done something dumb, whatever the relativity of it is in your life. But with him, because he's a star, which gets back into this privacy thing, it affected his game on the golf course. He's taken a long time off, and now he's back. He'll be in shape, obviously. The one thing that Tiger Woods has always had that was able to dominate other people is the ability to reach inside your heart and pull it out and bury his opponents. Do people still look at Tiger Woods and stare him down with a sense of, you know how when you're in a stare down with a guy that intimidates you or a girl that intimidates you, your eyes divert first? That's the way it used to be with Tiger Woods. When you looked at him, you'd think, maybe I better quit looking at him because he's going to wear me out. That would be the first thing that would come to your mind. Now, do these golfers look at him and stare him down and say, huh, I can stare him down and handle him? Has the intimidation factor and the mystique and the aura of Tiger Woods gone by the wayside? Or will it just take one win of him dominating somebody down the stretch where people start to say he's back and he has that killer instinct? Or did this soften Tiger Woods up enough? You know, there's been talk that he now answers questions on Twitter or whatever, that he's more involved with fans and the rest of it. Or is it getting to the point now where he just is, you know, that he's becoming more of a guy of the people, which will take away from his single-mindedness? And what made him great, and I like the fact that he's responding and more into people and going through those things, I think it's important, is the great fans that he has that have supported him through this, and they don't care what he did off the golf course because that's not their business, so they want to see him win tournaments. Because I don't remember the time when I ever looked at Tiger Woods and said, maybe I'll use him as my marriage counselor, even though I'm not married, or how to choose women or why he chooses. That's not what he gets paid to do. So the question is, with his more involvement in fans? Does it take away from his single-mindedness that made him so great, walking down the golf course with a partner and not talking to the guy he's playing with because he wants to beat him so bad? What's going to happen? What are we going to see? And if he starts off slow in the first month of the season, are we going to say, ugh, the guy just doesn't have it anymore? I mean, can it be that easy? Can it go away that fast, and can it be that easy for it to disappear for Tiger Woods? I don't know. That's why the questions are out there at 888-346-9144, SeanSalz@gmail.com. SeanSalz@gmail.com with your emails. So is it that simple for Tiger Woods? Can the game go away because of the effect it had on his off-the-field stuff? And some people deal with things like this better than others. Look at Ben Roethlisberger, his off-the-field stuff. He hit the ground running after a suspension. He's got his team in the Super Bowl. So he dealt with it. In the past, Tiger Woods has dealt with golf adversity, changing coaches and the rest with no problem. When you're the best driver of the golf ball, the best putter, or when I say best, the most clutch, the best driver of the golf ball, best putter under pressure, best short iron, long iron player, you're going to win a lot of tournaments. The question to me is, does he have that still in him? Yes, physically, of course he does. But does Tiger Woods have that in him? And he adjusted to the on-the-course stuff fine, change of coach, go from Butch Harmon to Hank Haney, then doesn't miss a beat. Now he's no longer with Hank Haney, goes to somebody else. Change, you know, when he had Fluff Cowan as his caddy, changed him to Stevie Williams, didn't miss a beat, still winning tournaments. But now the off-the-field stuff have leaked onto the golf course. How will it affect him? Is he by it now? Is he glad he's not married? Is he, you know, is he a happy dad? Is he at peace? All those things that affect you when you're standing over a 12-foot putt and your name's Tiger Woods. So he didn't deal with the adversity well last year off the field. He didn't. I mean, he didn't win a tournament. So the question is, you know, how will he deal with it? We've seen Phil Mickelson deal with cancer of his mother and his wife and respond pretty well, yet the knock on Phil's always he's wilted under pressure in big events when he's playing in a major. I mean, when he's won majors, but when he's played an event that, you know, when he's a Tiger or something like that, Phil would disappear and go into one of those putting woes. But Phil actually, when it's a life issue, has dealt with it well and won tournaments. How will Tiger Woods now deal as he comes back after being off this life issue of being divorced, endorsers turning their back, now that the dust is settled and these kids are settled in with mom and he gets to see him and he says his priorities have changed? We're going to find out if they have. Now, I can tell you this. Regardless of his priorities changed, Tiger Woods is still a golfer, folks. And he'll be miserable if he doesn't play well. Absolutely miserable if he doesn't play well. You and I both know it. This is what he does. If he doesn't play well, he'll be miserable. Still break clubs, still drop F-bombs, the rest of it. I'm anxious to see how he deals with that. I'm fascinated how great this guy is, because when he's on, he dominates his sport as good as anybody dominates theirs. Gretzky's. When Jordan was around, it doesn't matter. That's how good he is. Roger Federer, who, by the way, is out of the Australian Open. Now Nadal, I mean, they just when they're at their best, the great ones dominate no matter what. What are we going to see from Tiger Woods in 2011? And again, you fans, I know that a lot of you are at work and can't call in, but I'm fascinated if, in fact, you're okay with this. If you're to the point where you don't think at all that this is a threat, that this isn't very real, or are you trying to push it by the wayside because it's Super Bowl time and you're not even thinking about the lockout because there's months to go and everything will be okay? Well, really not months to go, because they may have to move the draft up before free agency. I mean, this is very, very real and very, very scary stuff. So the question is, are you affected by it? Nervous at all? Especially you non-Packer Steeler fans who are focused on the game. But are the rest of you concerned about it financially? Concerned about waking up in September and turning on your TV and us not having a season? Think about all the football talk on TV that you love and the bloggers and all the banner on talk radio. Aren't we all going to get sick? I mean, sick of talking about when it's going to end, if it doesn't end? This is not a fun thing, folks. I've seen guys fight each other from the strikes, and players and front office guys getting fights. I mean, it is an ugly situation with these, and players want to break, because there are players in the NFL right now that make a lot of money that are still broke, and I'm not judging them. Heck, I know what it's like to lose a big salary and wonder, oh my gosh, am I ever going to get that money? But I get it. I also know what it's like to be from a blue-collar family and making no money, living paycheck to paycheck, but having a lot of love in your family. Been on both ends of it. Was raised in a family like that. I'm so grateful for it. My question comes down to this. There are guys that are broke. Who wilts first? Who wilts first? The player that makes $3 million a year, yet spends $4 million? You know they're out there. Or the owner who, while he'll lose a lot of money, most of them made their money outside of this business as opposed to inside of football. The rest, I mean, they were able to buy franchises because they were rich before they bought the franchise. So the question is, who suffers more in a strike? The fan suffers the most, although they're not taking money out of your pocket unless you're a bettor. But they're sure as heck going to charge you more and take away that your outlet, which is watching football, the greatest sport on the planet. No better team sport on the planet than this. A lot of questions out there. Tiger Woods focus. Would you strike if you were the Packers and Steelers threatened to strike this Super Bowl? And would you hold out a media day just to send a message so the world knows that you're not bullshitting? I got to tell you, folks, and these players, most of them, unless the ones that want to be self-promoters, hate media day anyway. They're not comfortable with it. You know, the Chad Johnsons of the world love it because he's a great self-promoter and a great marketer. Rest of them are just like, they don't want to mess with it. So my whole thing is, if that's the case, why not threaten a strike this next week on media day? Why not? Or show up out there and have one person get up there and announce the head of your players association for your team. Each team has a guy who's their rep. Say, sorry, we're not having media day. We have decided that we are going to strike, and walk off the field. You want to make an impact? That's the way to do it. We're making an impact right here on Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between, discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Never be satisfied. Let that be a lesson you take away from Double Time with Double D, featuring businessman and former NFL star Dave Duerson. We'll talk about the NFL with special focuses on the game itself, and Double D will take your calls and answer your emails live on the show. It's not Football 101, but rather an in-depth look in the locker room, on the field, away from the field, and opening up the mind of the player. The program will also feature positive messages, so tune in to Double Time with Double D, Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
A beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neal. He's at
drop shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's S-E-A-N-S-A-L-S @gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Voice America Sports, Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. Looking for my man Anthony Perrani to guest host tomorrow for 2 hours for me while I'm in Jacksonville getting ready for the LFL on MTV2. Excuse me. I've got to get my once-a-day sneeze in on here without a talkback cough button. And Anthony, I'd love to give him 2 hours to host the show tomorrow so you don't have to hear this show again tomorrow. But got to go to Jacksonville and get ready for this. This is always a tough time of year, but next week, pounding you with a bunch of shows and interviews and excitement as we go through. And I hope on Tuesday, what is it, Media Day Tuesday, I believe it is. I hope that I'm talking. I hope the players, I don't even know if they thought about it. I'd love to see the players strike Media Day and send a message for you fans. You're not going to miss the Super Bowl. They could threaten to strike the Super Bowl, and you know what? The Super Bowl will get played because the agreement will get done in 2 seconds. The NFL cannot afford not to have the Super Bowl in all ways, shapes, and form. But you're not missing practice on Media Day. Most players hate Media Day anyway. And on these two teams, you're not going to get a lot of outlandish talk because their franchises won't allow it. They run their business with class. So I would ask you, wouldn't it be cool if you're on the player side of this? I'm on the side of getting it done. Players are greedy, too. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm on the side of getting it done, a bunch of grown men being able to sit in there and get it done. Come out to Media Day. Have your one player rep for both teams stand up at the podium and announce that you will not be doing Media Day today because with the solidarity and the fact that and you could very simply, we care about the fans. The fans are going to miss out next year, and they owe it. Prices are going to hike because of all this. Just appease the fans and catch the NFL by, they wouldn't have a statement ready. Catch them by surprise. Announce your strike in Media Day, and you're going to a meeting right now to discuss the possibilities of sitting out the Super Bowl. And people are going to say, Green Bay and Pittsburgh, no, we can't do that. It's the Super Bowl. Folks, you'll get your Super Bowl in. Watch how quickly a deal gets done if, in fact, the players would just send that message of solidarity to the owners. People would be reeling. Media from all over the world's there. To have them show up and not, and absolutely not get a chance and possibly miss the Super Bowl but miss Media Day, that ends the strike right away. It'll be done. 888-346-9144. Am I crazy? Am I crazy? Sounds pretty good to me, doesn't it, to you? I could care less about Media Day, but that Media Day would make the biggest impact we've ever had in a Media Day with one simple move of solidarity by the players, and they'd be sitting in an office talking contract by the end of the day. That I assure you. Make an impact, do it right away. 888-346-9144. How cool is that? So we're talking. How do you guys feel about the fans, and how do you feel about a strike? How do you feel about a strike now? How do you feel about a strike now? Or the threat of a strike from the players and miss Media Day, and then how do you feel the fans, if there's a lockout, the effect it's going to have on you as a fan? I'm very anxious to see exactly how everybody deal with it and what the backlash is going to be if all this changes. And this is going to change And you know what? The last thing, if you're Roger Goodell, that you want to have hanging over your shoulder and hovering around your head is your legacy. Because right now, Roger's legacy is running a great show. Ratings are at the all-time high. And we've tried to eliminate bad people from the NFL. We've tried to eliminate it. So while they're trying to eliminate bad people, and that's right now Roger's legacy, he's done a great job. The question comes to this. If that's the deal, then a strike hanging over, no commissioner wants a strike hanging over his head and have that as his legacy, because if in fact there is one, that will end up being his legacy regardless of all the work Roger Goodell's done, and some damn good work. You do not want that hovering over your head. That is a major, and he gets paid a lot of money to keep him out of these situations. That is a major indictment on a commissioner when that happens. It just is, whether it's his fault or not. That's just the way it is. So, if I was a player rep for my team, I'm not so sure I wouldn't suggest we strike Media Day to send a message to get this deal done. Let's get out to Cool Mike, Midwest. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, my friend Sean. I like your idea regarding standing up now. I'd hate to see a strike, period, as a football fan or any kind of sports fan. I think the NFL strike in the 80s had a devastating effect more on the players than it did the owners.
No question. Always does. The owners made their money doing something else. This is just a bonus for them.
That's very, very true. And I think towards the end you kind of saw the union fall apart. I think now if they do something now... And if there's a threat of no Super Bowl, this is the players' biggest bargain chip right now. In March, I mean, what are they going to bargain with?
Well, on February 7th, Mike, a week from this Monday, what are they going to bargain? They can't bargain it. So to me, while it's hovering over the head, I want you to, and you've thought about this, you're a fan and you know what I'm talking about, and I've been to many media days covering them. Think about the impact of those, of thousands of media people being there. And the reps for both teams, while the rest of the players stay in the locker room, walk, because you know a coach can't stop them. Coach has no say in this. And a player rep for the Steelers and the Packers walking out in their jersey and standing up there and saying, "Folks, you won't be able. There will be no media day today. As part of our trying to get this done and end this strike and get our people to the table, we will not participate in media day. And we're having a meeting after this." To decide on our situation on whether we'll play in the Super Bowl or not under the current circumstances. Now, you didn't say you're not playing it. You're just sending a message. And then you go back, and to the media day, there's no practice. You may have a meeting that night, but it's kind of a early week, like your normal Tuesday day off, but it's filled with media day, and most of the players hate it anyway. And I believe Tuesday is media day. I don't think it's Monday. It might be Monday, but I think it's Tuesday. So that being said, you sit out media day, and you take that threat. Roger Goodell will sprint to a meeting room and get on the phone and try to get it done. That threat, you think about the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on the line. This is without question the biggest, not just a bargaining chip, this is the biggest bargaining chip the players have now or ever. And the ratings are so high with the NFL right now, the ratings are up this year. What better time than now than to put that threat out there, Mike, and say, you know what, let's see how you clowns respond to this now. I think it's an ingenious idea and they should do it.
I agree, Sean. I think that it's amazing that a USC guy would come up with a great
idea
like that. I know,
bonehead like me is able, smart enough to actually think of that, something like that. I'm like, I know I'm not this smart, but it makes sense to me. And if I was a player rep for either one of those two teams, that would be my suggestion. And players, if they have that much solidarity and the balls, they do it and watch the impact. Watch the owners wilt in a second. Not showing up to media day, and it's the perfect time. You're not cutting any of your preparation for the game. And you send a message that will be heard and will shake the very foundation that the NFL players, I mean, the NFL management and the front offices of the NFL, the foundation they're built on, will shake them to their core if they do that.
Not just that, Sean, but, I mean, that idea is ingenious, because I'll tell you, look where the Super Bowl is, and if right now any owner has the most pull in the NFL. Some people say Jerry Jones is the commissioner of the NFL.
Right.
But I mean, it is That's just a great idea because Jerry Jones is not only Jerry Jones can get things done. People follow Jerry Jones. I think that's a great idea. That would really be great for football.
And Jerry's right now wanted to be the biggest crowd. You know, I know they got to try to overcome what the Rose Bowl crowd of 100-some thousand. I mean, there's so many sidebars that you can affect. Fox will crap their pants because they got the Super Bowl. All these sponsors that are paying all this money and all these commercials. Think about how quickly everybody had to run to the table. If the players, there's no better bargaining chip in the world than this perfect threat to do it. And to me, if they're not even thinking about it, I think it's a huge mistake. You should send that message out there. And if the owners will, and we all this owner talking all their money, we'll see how big their stones are to stand tall when a player says, because this is the only time, in my opinion, while the players still, you got to have players to show up. This is the only time they have a bargaining chip this big. And it's the biggest bargaining chip the history of the union that would ever have to pull this off right now during the Super Bowl week, during media day. It would crush the foundation of the NFL.
Oh, I agree. I think now it's almost, you brought up just this topic. For them, really, it could be almost now or never, because they could be, during the off season, the owners can stranglehold them. I mean, the owners have got money. It's not good. Slowly but surely, the players will just wean away at their money. I mean, it's just for most of them.
That, and you know what, Mikey? That's the truth is when you really look at the – we can talk about all the issues and 18-game schedule and, you know, retirement and, you know, and rookie wage scale and all that. But when it comes right down to it, the reason why the players will end up panicking – and I try – believe me, I've been in it. I know. The reason why the players will panic quicker is because, in truth, most of these owners have enough money to sustain them for, I mean, and while the players, you think, you know, when somebody says, he makes $5 million a year, how can he be broke? Well, after taxes and a guy spend, a lot of these players are spending more than they have that year, regardless of the amount of money, it's relative. You make $40,000 a year, you live off $40,000 a year. You make $5 million a year, most people live like they're making $5 million a year. I mean, it's the life, especially if you never had it. So people make mistakes. So I can assure you right now, there's plenty of players in the NFL that are making millionaire salaries that are going to be begging for their paycheck by March. They're going to be saying, oh my gosh, the panic will start to set in. Houses will start to go on the market. I know how it goes. And so you get to a point where if you're the owner, you say, okay, but I still got my personal wealth while my team may be starting, my personal wealth will be fine. And they're relying, truthfully, it'll come down to this simple. They're sitting back relying on the fact that the players will wilt for one reason and one reason only, that they're not going to be getting their paycheck. Aside from all the other issues, it'll come down to really we'll see who can stand longer. So for me, the biggest chip you have, and it is a big bargaining chip in Vegas, is it's the put it this way: this chip that the players have is bigger than any chip the owners have. If in fact this strike continues to roll along, this is the biggest chip on the table right now for the players to have this threat. And in my opinion, if they don't do it, then the momentum shifts back to the owners who can hold out and force. And they got more people. Pull with the PR thing, they can force the owners to, they'll go out there and try to convince the fans that it's the selfishness of the players that are reason we're holding out. And you and I both know that.
Yep. Great. I agree, Sean. Just a terrific idea. And I seriously hope somebody who is listening to the show has, you know, is whispering this in the right ears, because I'll tell you, it's now or never. And plus, none of us need this. I mean, we are fans. Oh. We're always caught in the middle. The billionaires versus the millionaires really sucks. As an end zone fan, I mean, we are simple blue-collar people. It just has a devastating.
And you need your Sunday football to make you, I mean, you need it because you love it, and you work hard for your paycheck, and you buy season tickets, and, damn, you got to spend a lot of your paycheck. And, I mean, people spend in their savings because this is what they do. They're diehard Bears fans. They're diehard Bronco fans. They're diehard blue-collar Eagle, whatever it is. And that's their paycheck a week, or that's the outlet they have. And not to have that on Sunday, people will be going crazy, absolutely crazy. So the idea of striking and making sure the strike on media day, the threat is there, I think would go so far into getting it done. And to me, if they had the balls, the players would do it and send that message. Mike, let me ask you another question before I let you go. What's your feelings on, forget, it's not just the golf, but it's Tiger Woods. What are your feelings on him now? Have they changed after what he went through? Do you still respect him? And do you think he'll ever be the golfer he was?
Well, first of all, whether he's going to be the golfer he was, time will tell that. Tiger Woods is a good person. Again, the media is obsessed with this type of situation. It's always the guy who's the cheating and the creep. We don't know his whole what went on in that entire marriage. She could have been cheating for all we know.
That's exactly right. Of course, we have no clue. Doesn't make it right either way, but we have no idea.
Yes, and the media is always so one-sided. People are just stupid. They don't read into any story. They just believe whatever is being said, a la even going back to your situation. It's always just so one-sided, and it's distorted.
Sure
it is. Tiger Woods is a good person. He has done an awful lot of things, millions of dollars to charities. You know, and if they don't like Tiger Woods, they can just go F off. You know,
yeah, the truth is, deep down, whether they like him or not, he doesn't care.
Yeah, and that the media has a problem with these people who don't care. And he's basically stumped the media, and how dare they do that? You know, they're ultimately all powerful. And the bottom line is that Tiger Woods is a good person. He is, like it or not like it, he revolutionized the game of golf to bring an awful lot of people, a la the Sammy Sosa McGuire thing in baseball, the Magic Johnson, Larry Bird in basketball. I mean, he revolutionized golf.
Mike, he's the reason the purses are so, but he's the reason why a second place guy is making $1 million in a tournament.
That's exactly right. And I don't know that people are aware of this, but Phil Mickelson, who has won like two or three majors last year, grossed $66 million. He did that a lot because what George Steinbrenner did for baseball, what Tiger Woods did for golf. Hey, we're going to miss you tomorrow, but I'm going to call and support Anthony too, buddy.
Okay, I appreciate it. Yeah, please do. I got to make sure that he can do it. If not, then we'll do something. But, yep, and I'll be back next week. But tune in MTV. You watch some great fun. I think you've probably seen it, Mike, but you know these girls can flat-ass play.
Yeah.
And there's you're going to see some unbelievable football, and you'll say, man alive, you'll forget that they're women other than, yeah, they look good in the uniform, but you'll forget that you won't even pay attention to the uniform they're wearing. The football's amazing. So once you get by the initial, ooh, hot women in uniform, it'd be great.
John,
Mike, I appreciate it, buddy.
I just said to a guy who's a season ticket holder with me in the end zone, I says, how does a guy like Salisbury get this job when a good Notre Dame man like me got to watch it on TV?
Guess what? hey, every now and then you got to strike luck sometime in your life, my man, and I can't give that back.
All right.
Appreciate it, Mike.
More
have a good weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Thanks. It's cool, Mike. Tunes in a lot, get a lot of people to follow this show, and I appreciate all those who do. It's Voice America Sports. So grateful for the listeners. I say strike media day and make a threat of striking and holding out the Super Bowl. The threat alone will get this strike situation done. This is the biggest card the players own, and they could play it on media day and end this strike for you fans. What do you think? 888-346-9144. We'll be right back.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day, on the radio, and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big-name stuff, too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little-known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Got an hour in the books. I believe that if the NFL players want to make an impact and help you fans out and help them out, that they'll have no bigger card at any time during any part of this looming strike and lockout and work stoppage, whatever it is we're calling it, than they have this week coming up, to where they could very simply threaten to strike the Super Bowl. And folks, you're going to get your Super Bowl. I know you, well, how can you say in the biggest game of your life? Because the biggest game of your life, looking at the big picture, they're going to play this game. Let's even say they had to delay it 3 days to get the thing done. If the players were that strong and said, you know what, delay it a week. We're not going to play the Super Bowl until you get the deal done. The NFL the owners would have to come to the table. Just have to. Too much pressure from TV networks and sponsors. They'd lose way too much money. You're getting your Super Bowl in. But this would assure that you get your season in next year. Go to media day. All the players in the locker room, simply have your reps for the one rep for the Steelers and the Packers walk out there and say, sorry. Or Kevin Mawai, who is the player rep for all of them, to walk out there and say, sorry, there'll be no media day today. This is the solidarity. The players are sticking together. This is our first step in the threat of there may not be a Super Bowl this weekend unless we can start to get this done. And he turns right away and walks away, no questions answered, walks to the locker room, no players show up for media day. Watch the very foundation of the NFL change and the attitude and how quickly it gets done. If I was the head of the Players Association, now you can't tell players what to do. That would be my suggestion on the table. There's no bigger bargaining chip on either side than this one. This is it. This is the bargaining chip that's as big as Vegas has. And the NFL players have it right in their hands, and they got the owners by the balls if they want to play this card. My suggestion. Just saying. Let's get out to AC. AC, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, man, I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Just giving a lot of thought to this and trying to see how does everybody win.
You know what? You have, and that is probably the most brilliant thing that I think I've ever heard, especially to get to the bottom of this stuff. I mean, I think to me personally, the strike, what does it mean? I'm going to miss a few hours of football. I have a lot of stuff going on, as you already know, with
right.
The things that I'm doing, to where it's not going to affect me that much. I don't buy season tickets. I just don't go through a lot of the other things. But if they don't have anything else, there's nothing else that they're going to do. Because you know what? The things that fuel those billionaires to buy those teams are still feeding and fueling those billionaires. This is their hobby. This is not the only way they make money.
Yeah, they wouldn't have. Well, they wouldn't have had the money to buy the team had they not been making millions and billions before then.
And so
their personal salaries aren't going to suffer, and they're worth if there's no season starting out next year. Now the TV rights and all that, but the owners themselves. This is the best card the players have, AC, to put an immediate, and you know this. Can you imagine the look on Roger Goodell's face if he got hoodwinked, and on the front offices and the owners, if they got hoodwinked like this and the players had the balls to pull this off?
Oh, if they had the nuts to do it, Sean, it would devastate them. And you know, it's interesting because I kind of like what Goodell's doing with the stuff there. But the little perch that he's walking on, you know, with the nice little rules and my way, the highway, and everything else like that, he doesn't need this on his resume.
You know, well, his legacy's been really good so far as cleaning things up.
But you know this, eh? It doesn't matter how good you are. You're only known for the big. There's always one. Pete Rozelle, you know, Pete did a great job. There's certain things that hover over a guy's legacy. And if this strike happens and they miss football next year, Roger Goodell, who's right now being considered one of the great commissioners, would immediately go into the tank and say he didn't get it done as a commissioner. And the owners would look to replace him if this happens. You know how that is. Even though the owners are involved in the strike, they kind of look at you a little different, kind of out of the corner of their eye. And Roger's a hell of a commissioner. But this, the tarnish that goes with this is the same as a player that sticks around too long or somebody who makes a mistake. You know how it is, my man. You know exactly how it is. The tarnish would ruin Roger Goodell's reputation as a commissioner in the NFL.
Well, in fact, that's why he's right now sticking his neck out, trying to show and prove. I mean, your point is just proved, you know, tenfold when you sit back and you listen to him now publicly saying he'll take a dollar if they don't get it done. He's already thinking about his legacy right now.
Of course,
while they have him by the balls, they need to go ahead and pull.
You think anybody's suggesting it in the locker rooms, or you think this is just my idea do you think the players have even discussed this at all? AC?
No, not at all, Sean. In fact, the thing is, and again, I don't want to sound too much like your cheerleader and everything else like this, but again, you should be talking, you should be representing these people so that they understand, get a decent view of what's going on there, because they don't. I don't think they've given any thought to it.
No, me either. I think they're so single-minded on the game. And I get those two, but can you imagine if they would have they'd still get to play their game, still wouldn't interrupt their practice time. And let's say at the worst, let's say they threatened to hold out and they didn't show up and play the Super Bowl game, and that the Super Bowl had to schedule it for February 13th. What's lost? Nothing. And the fans at home should be begging for something like this to get done, because if it doesn't get done now, I'm not so sure it's going to get done later.
What's the motivation?
Nothing. The owners will sit back and say, you guys let us know when you want to come to the table. You're going to need a paycheck more than we are.
What's the motivation? You have some people that have been smart with money. You have other people who are sitting back with 5 houses, 10 cars, and a lot of other things that are spending 5 and making 2. So too many people like that. Way too many people that don't think about life after football, and they're not prepared for it. I just don't see it happening.
Yep, I agree, man. I agree. Let me ask you this, AC. Will Tiger Woods ever be what we saw, the single-minded, dominate and cut people's heart out to beat him, slit their throat, put his foot on their throat and twist his spike? Are we ever going to see that again, or is there an edge lost, or will this be an edged gain after he's now been able to refocus? What are we going to see from him in 2011?
In my opinion, I think what you're going to get out of Tiger is a guy who's going to look at you and smile and now slit your throat. I just think now all of a sudden, because of the problems and everything that he had, that he lost his dominance and everything in the game, I personally think what you're going to get is a guy who is a little bit more open. I don't think you're going to see the nasty cutthroat approach to it, but he's still going to be cutthroat.
He's going to be a guy that's a little bit more of a, instead of the scowl that he has when he's playing where everything's so serious, a smile, but the smile that's almost like the cat that swallowed the bird, that I got you where I want you smile.
Yeah. Yeah. I already ate the canary, so what difference does it make?
Exactly.
I may have mentioned this before, everybody is quick to forget about the Tiger proofing of the courses and everything that they've done to try to bring things up to Tiger, to bring the field back to Tiger, to make it more competitive and everything else like that. And with that being said, I think, again, even there, he's still come back. After they took away his advantages and everything else like that, he's still dominated. So I think he's coming back. I hope he does. And I hope he shoves it right up the ass of all of his sponsors and everybody else.
Oh, well, they'll be standing in line after he wins 4 tournaments.
Yeah.
They'll be standing in line and say, oh, he's rehab, so we can jump him back on here. Because the truth is, the reason the purses are this big is Tiger Woods. The reason the ratings are, it's a fact. If Tiger Woods isn't playing in the final group at Augusta or anywhere else, the ratings aren't as good. Even through all the controversy or anything, look at even Michael Vick, 6 of the 22 or so rated TV shows up until the last, 3 weeks of the season or whatever it was, 6 of Michael Vick's games were the top rated TV shows of the year. And the 6 of the Dallas Cowboys game. And we know the drama that follows the Cowboys and the controversy that followed Michael Vick. So 12 of the 22 or 25, whatever it was, top TV shows, not games, shows, involved the Cowboys and Michael Vick's team. So it's the same with Tiger Woods. You're not, I mean, I the majors you may watch, but I got news for you. You'll fall asleep quicker watching golf on Sunday if the man in the red shirt ain't playing on Sunday in the final group. That's just if he's not in the hunt. And golf knows it. The PGA knows it. Sponsors know it. Now, they may have turned their back on him, but they also know, as Nike, a lot of tongues coming out to kiss his ass when all said and done.
Yeah, well, and again, I think your point very well established. Again, everybody forgets the way everybody got rich when he came to the game. Everybody. You got a golf channel now. Subscriptions have gone up. Players, to your point, are now making millions of dollars for second place. You know, you get people that are 35th on the tour still making money. So if I were sitting back and I'm the 35th player, I want Tiger coming back. Doing that.
Oh, of course you do. If you're the third player, I mean the second player, you want him coming back because, hey, 20 years ago, you weren't even getting $1 million purse when you were winning tournaments. Now guys that are finishing, you know, you're bringing home $700,000 to finish third. Good gracious. And you're getting bigger endorsement deals because of Tiger's presence. You may not like him, but you better secretly go on the side and say, dude, listen, here you go. I appreciate you. We're going to give you a finder's fee because the reason why we get to do it, and people could say, well, there's a lot of reasons. No, I'm sorry to tell you. Now, there's more young golfers coming up. They're going to make those reasons because they're challenging Tiger. But the very damn reason that this has taken off like it is for one guy and one guy only. And Tim Fincham, the commissioner, damn well knows that. It's Tiger Woods, without question. Golf suffers without him. Golf's better with him. It's real simple.
Well, and it's like Yankees, it's like the Nets, and versus Knicks and everything else like that. Sure, everybody likes basketball, but NBA is better when the Lakers and the Knicks
absolutely.
And golf wants to survive at this point right now. They don't have anybody else. Yeah, the young guns are coming up, and it's nice that they're going to challenge them, but they're still not bringing in the fire.
Oh, of course not. And just that the whispers and the talk and what everybody says, we all want. The same people who dropped him because they did it for the politically correct reasons that dropped him from the sponsorships are the same ones sitting behind in the back door saying, please let this fool be in the final eight. I mean, you know, please let him be contending because that'll just raise what we can charge. I mean, the PGA is sitting there saying, well, that'll raise what we can charge. The sponsors are saying, man, it brings more awareness. Who are they kidding? And we all know it. In controversy, Tiger Woods is still just as popular as ever. Now, he may not be as popular with the endorsers, but like I said, we all love the comeback story, and if he's able to turn it around, then you know, then the golfers will fear him again, and the sponsors will love him again, and maybe it's changed, and hopefully it's changed his focus on the way he approaches it. And you know what the truth is?
What?
We all need something to kick us in the rear and to change some perspective, and perspective's good. And Tiger was so single-minded, obviously, and probably self-admitted that he needed a change. It doesn't mean he still can't dominate. You can dominate more than one time, and you can also be focused on being a dad, but also dominate your sport. We see it happen all the time.
Yeah, but the thing is that I think, again, he did get bored. I think the thing is that, you know, he's competing with himself.
Oh, yeah, no question.
So he needs constant challenges and everything else like
that. And to get to the point where he actually feels where that peace kicks in and he says, you know what, I don't have to grind so much to still win tournaments. I can still be great and have a life that extends, and I can actually smile once in a while. I'm pulling for him, man. Like I said, whether you condone what he did or not, I don't like to get in all that. Everybody's got a skeleton somewhere, or they've already shown their skeleton for him. Hey, it's out there in the open now. Doesn't have to have it carrying around, and now he can just go focus and be a dad and go play. I'm not so sure. Now that he's got his peace back and realizing that this, you know, that feeling when you got something out there that you just need to spill to a friend?
Yeah. Well,
the world knows about it. I'm not so sure that he's not going to come out like gangbusters, and once his game gets right, that he could actually still be better because of the focus he'll have and understanding what he needs to do to turn it around. And you know that. They're dangerous guys with nothing anymore to lose. They're scary.
If you take a look at the way he dominated with everything that he had going on from health to the other distractions and everything he had, and he was still dominating like that?
Yes.
That's what, to me...
Carry that burden and still make 7-foot putts with no question. I'm with you. See, to me, it almost says he should be a better player now that he's got a little more peace and isn't carrying that burden around wondering, oh, is this girl going to sell me out? Am I going to get divorced? Is my wife going to find out? Now he can go out there and say, shoot, they've already emptied the bucket. You know about me. But now you're really going to know about me because I'm about to come back to burying your ass on the golf course. So it should be interesting. should be interesting. All right, my man, anything else?
Oh, no, just wanted your thoughts on just regarding Herschel. I think it sounds good.
You know what? Why not? If I was, I'd give him a chance. You look at his body, what you do, bring him in for a workout. If the guy can still run high 4.3s and run a 4.4, his body's in great shape. I've seen him, what, a handful of months ago. He looks great. If he wants to do it, age is only, you know what, the truth is, if you didn't know Herschel Walker's age and you just looked at him and you didn't know that he played years ago, you'd say, okay, this young man could play. He sure as hell doesn't look 48 physically or in the face. Stick him out there. Let's see what he can do. You could probably get him, you say, hey, we'll give you minimum salary as a veteran, you know, pay him, what, $800,000, whatever it is, and give him a bunch of incentives. And let's see if he can go compete with the 22-year-olds, 24-year-olds, 30-year-olds. I'd like to see it. If I'm an owner or general manager, I give him a shot. Well, what's to lose? Good PR. Guy comes back. If he makes it, oh, my gosh, it's for a great story. If he doesn't, hey, you're the team that gave him a chance and was able to, well, it doesn't hurt anything. He ain't hurt. Bring him in for OTAs in the off the field and work him out and see what he's got. I'm with you 100%. And you know what? Dude, I know that guy's drive and that guy's body. I'm not so sure he couldn't. That he's not better and more fit than a 24-year-old, to be honest with you.
Well, I think that he is, but I think the one thing that he's also missing is the change of the game.
Yep,
and that's
no doubt about it.
That's the one thing that I think is a little bit different. I don't think that I said something earlier, and I got to kind of back off of it. I think, is there a chance that he could? Yeah, I don't think he. I think he'd be more successful than Alzado and a lot of other guys that want to do it.
Right. But do I think he can handle that? He can handle getting at 48, you know this, man. We still think we can do it, but when Clay Matthews and Ray Lewis are knocking you in the teeth, that body doesn't quite come back as much. But you know what? It can't hurt to try. Heck, what's wrong? What would be wrong with seeing him in the preseason, seeing what he's all about? What would it hurt?
I would love to see it because they didn't have 265, 270 pound guys running around slamming in you and running 4.5.
Yeah, exactly. Just as faster than you, but actually can bench press 500 pounds. It's a different game, but you know what? I give him a lot of credit for having the balls to step out and say he can do it. So let's put the money where the mouth is and let's stick him out there. Sign him to a minimum salary with a bunch of incentives and see if he can hang. No problem here.
Again, he's doing MMA, so who would say anything? I wouldn't say the boy couldn't do anything at all.
Not this cat. He can try out on my roster. I'll let him in. Plus, he's a good dude. And you know what? Good dudes deserve chances, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
AC, appreciate you. Talk to you next week. We'll break this thing down and have a lot going on. I know I'll hear from you email and call in and give these final predictions as we head into this Super Bowl. And I hope somebody's listening to what I'm saying today. And I hope that we don't have a media day because the players have the balls. Somebody spreads the word. And if anybody's listening to this show, throw it on your Twitter. Do something I did. See if somebody gets a whisper of this and that they have the balls to do it. I don't think they will, but I guarantee if they did, they could end this strike or the threat of the strike right away.
Well, that's the only card they have, man.
Yes, sir, again. And it's a damn big one, my friend.
And you're light years ahead of it.
I appreciate it. I'm not that smart, but I can fool them once in a while. AC, thanks,
please.
Buddy. Have a great one. We'll talk next week.
Fattening frogs for snakes, man. Take care.
There you go. All right. Man, AC, awesome stuff. Cool Mike also. All my people out there that are listening, spread that word, folks. Tell them what I said. Watch how quickly they get on the table and the deal gets done, and then we all win, you fans included. And if the people really, if the owners and players really do have your best interests in mind, I'm not so sure you shouldn't start demanding it. Packer fans, Steeler fans, you're going to get your Super Bowl even if you threaten the strike. And then you're going to get your season next year. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered. We're coming back. Rolling along in hour number two.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster to work to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on, it will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone, where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's SEANSALS at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Voice America Sports, Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. Remember my new show coming out, start the production in March, TV show, air on Versus, pilot show. It's Inside Sports, Unleashed with Sean Salisbury, hardcore sports along with some humor. But it'll be exactly what you fans need. Take this show and stick it on TV with a combination of both. I think you'll love it, and I'm excited about it. Can't wait. And obviously you can find me on Twitter at Sean Unfiltered. And I'm readjusting my fan page on Facebook. I'm going to get a whole bunch of new graphics and a whole bunch of new stuff done for it so we can build this thing beyond belief and make it right in the interaction. So can separate regular, you know, my stuff on Facebook and to talk, you know, issues, the fun stuff and all that, but also that we can really get some sports stuff and drive people there to where it's a big gig. I'd like to actually take over and become where you could get stuff, and I'm going to do a TV, internet where it's audio and video, to where you could actually, every single day, we get fans involved and do it and take a show over and above of what I'm doing now and make it to where become an internet sensation with your guys' help and get after it with opinion and a lot of hardcore good stuff, and I think it'd be pretty awesome. I mean hardcore sex. I mean hardcore good sports talk and laughs and, you know, and make it to the point where people, this is where you have to go to get not only opinion, but passion and info. And we don't need, you don't need the big networks just to drive what you do and to get the word out there. Matter of fact, it's all coming to the point where eventually it's going to be on internet. TV, radio, and newspapers, where do they all go to get their information now and to spread the word? To the internet. The internet doesn't go the other way around. It's opposite. They all go to the internet to get their information. So why the hell shouldn't we put the best internet stuff on the planet in opinion, and why do we have to save it for the other people? Let's do it ourselves. Make them chase us as opposed to us chasing them. and that's my goal, and to take this unfiltered and make it a brand. I'm not naive enough to think that I'm some kind of brand yet, and I'd like to. It'd be great. But I think with enough, you know, enough people following and enough impact, lovers and haters, for that matter, getting after it. And the one thing, as you guys know, I include the fan. I don't look down on the fan. I don't not have time for the fan. There's no show in America that allows callers to stay on as long as I do. No TV or radio show, none. There's nobody in America that allows the callers. They allow guests to take over their shows. And you guys probably wonder, well, why don't I have more guests on this show? I can get, I got a black book filled with them, guys, girls. I mean, I don't mean girls, I do, but it's athletes and entertainers and the rest of it. I can get them on here, and when there's something that needs to come on here, I will, like next week, Super Bowl week. But you know what? I'd actually rather hear from you, because the last thing I want to hear, and I will not put, I could care less who how big the name value is. If it's a guy that doesn't tell me anything, why the shit do I want to have him on here? If he's going to be very filtered, and not unfiltered. And then some of my friends are like that. They're not going to say a word. They're going to come on. They're my buddies. Yeah, come on. But they're going to give me coach speak. Give 110%, Lord willing, one game at a time. We'll be our best. I don't want that on there. I can get that from anybody. I can get that from anybody. That's the only reason. Now, when I was doing it an hour a week, I just think that other people like to do it. But I think that we want to make this show our show and get our personality, the fans and my personality out there, and let it be a driven show by a guest or three guests in an hour. That tells me, in my opinion, that if you have to be a guest-dominated show, that you can't pull a show by yourself and get out there. People tune in, I think, to want to hear the host's opinion. We don't watch David. We watch for some of the guests, but we watch for David Letterman's monologue. You don't watch Howard Stern just because the girl's got tits and ass and a G-string hanging out. Well, some of us may think that that's funny and cool, or some of us don't. You want Howard Stern's response. It's not so much even the guest. That's the way it is. That's why you listen to him. And I'm hoping that I can develop that same type thing. I'd rather hear from you, the fan, telling me why you can't stand the athlete that gives you coach speak, as opposed to the athlete telling me why he gives me coach speak. They don't tell me anything. What is a guest going to come on here? No offense. What's an ESPN analyst going to come on here and tell me about this Super Bowl that I don't already know? Honestly. I don't mean that sounding arrogant. I'm being honest. What ESPN analyst is going to come on here with passion and insight and preparation more than I'm going to give you? Well, I mean, it's a different voice, but I'd rather hear your voice than theirs. They're going to tell me anything about coverages and X's and O's just because they may cover the game. No offense. What are they going to tell you that I'm not? They're not. And more often than not, they're going to be far more filtered and protected because they're afraid to say it. I'm not. I'd rather hear from you guys. Tell me why the hell you're pissed at Ben Roethlisberger or why you love Aaron Rodgers. I don't need some analyst to come on here and spew bullshit to me, sit on the fence like 80% of them do on their own shows, and come on here and tell me, well, I think he's going to be good and protect everybody and tell me everything bad or good. I don't need that. Now, somebody will tell me something different. If I get Rex Ryan on here and Rex will tell me why Ben Roethlisberger's better than Aaron, now that's a guest. That's a guest. And maybe next week I'll be able to get Rex Ryan on here depending on his schedule. He's coaching the Pro Bowl. Okay, now that's a guest. But I don't care how big the name is. You're not going to tell me anything. It means nothing to me. It means nothing to me to get a quarterback on here that played against both teams if he's not going to tell me something. That being said, when there's a guest appropriate, I get the guest on. And there's plenty of guests. There's plenty of great ones. But I need somebody that's going to tell me. And I'm eventually going to have a producer. I'm eventually going to have a producer here as we continue to roll into the new year. You know, a person who makes calls, who is my producer, that gets on the phone and it has it, because I'm so in the preparation for the show and making sure I get the information out to you guys and talk to people, that sometimes you roll with the show and, you know, you forget that you want and need a producer. But I'm going to find me one. And maybe hire and an intern also that'll come in, an intern for the credits and maybe somebody who needs the experience, and then we'll move forward and build this thing to unbelievable proportions. I don't know. There's very few blog radio shows or internet radio shows that are going 5 days a week on sports, 2 hours a day. Most of them are going an hour a week. So we're pretty blessed at Voice America Sports, and we'll continue to pound this thing to where we make it the best and most informative and opinionated internet show, if it isn't already, in the country. And I'm grateful to you guys, so keep spreading the word. and we'll get to the point. But no guests get to come on here. I have guests like AC on and keep them on for 10 minutes. Anthony, 10 minutes. I mean, you don't get guests. Listen to your local talk show. They'll call in. Somebody will say something. They'll push the button and take them off. Now, well, you don't want somebody on here who's a lunatic and stays on for 45 minutes and doesn't tell me anything. You know, cool Mike has good points. Everybody gets on here with good points. And they know damn well if they don't have good points, I won't keep them on long. But I don't cut fans off because they say something that I might not like. That's why it's unfiltered. It's for you guys. So if anybody was out there questioning, why don't you have four guests on every 2 hours? I'm not interested in it. Trying to find somebody who's unfiltered and will tell me something I don't know, I'm not going to waste your guys' time. Rex Ryan will tell me something I don't know. Eric Dickerson told us something we didn't know about the black-white issue. Those are good. That's the kind of stuff I like on this show. And that's why we're very choosy about the guests we get on. I'd love to have Howard Stern on my show. I really would. Love to. Love to have somebody who was going to tell me something and not worry about, oh, maybe they won't hire me because of this. No, I don't care about that. It doesn't mean you throw people under the bus, but just be honest and come on here and be unfiltered. And who knows, I may eventually get a guest host. That's a regular for me that you can kind of, whether it may be the producer that, you know, like on some of the shows where you just have that person that chimes in once in a while. I may be ready for that to have somebody that you banter with. Because that'll be fun. Don't know. It's a great thing about this show. I can pick and choose exactly what I want. But that'll be the next step, producer, intern, and maybe it's Sean Salisbury Unfiltered with, you know, that my producer happens to be my, you know, like Howard has Robin. Maybe I'll have to find one of those. But my Robin is going to be just as unfiltered as she is. If it's a female or a male, you better bring it. So as we go into the new year, there'll be interviews, and obviously Voice America Sports will have a say in it, but we'll get somebody on here if I decide to go that route that we can battle with. And I've always said, man, I'd love it if John Clayton and I, if John left ESPN and we did an hour show, if we competed with PTI, I'd love it. If I had two choices, if I could put a show together that would be my I'm already going to do my dream show with my guys Mark McClure and the people that are doing Inside Sports Unleashed with Sean Salisbury. But for me, I am really excited. I would love it. If I could do a show on TNT like PTI with Charles Barkley for 30 minutes a day, Monday through Friday, and have him still do his NBA stuff, it would be unbelievable. Heck, move there to Atlanta. Charles and I do it in the studios, tape it in the afternoon or just before 5 o'clock, or do it live before he has to go on his NBA stuff. He'll be prepared. And do a 30-minute show on TNT, Charles and me, or Wilbon and Kornheiser, because Mike and Tony do a great job. But call it a different name. Hell, call it Unleashed or Unfiltered with Sean and Charles, or Unleashed with Sean and Charles, or we could put Charles' name first. I think he'd probably get top billing, whatever you want to call it. It'd be great. Now TNT wouldn't just be limited to basketball and baseball. Get a little football flavor, too, and get great opinion out there. How fun would that be? Charles and I doing a 30-minute show on TNT, a daily show that's on at like 5 o'clock. I would love that. And deep down, I know Charles would too. He talks politics, he talks sports, and because he's, you know, he cut from the same cloth, Chuck is, and TNT wouldn't filter it too much. I mean, we wouldn't be dropping F-bombs, don't misunderstand me, but hardcore sports. And trust me, our opinions, Charles and I's opinions a lot of times are the same. But a lot of times they're different. How good a show would that be? Somebody get on and call TNT and suggest it. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And when Charles is in Arizona at home or whatever, we do it via satellite like Wilbon does when he's in Arizona and Tony's there. And if he's got the NBA playoffs and can't do it, he takes, does 1 day a week during the NBA playoffs or 2 days a week, and you have a guest host fill in for the other 3 days, and we roll. And at times during the NBA finals and when they're on location, heck, we go do it from location. That would be the best, and as arrogant as it may sound, and I don't care, that would be the best two-man talk show in America, sports, opinion. The ratings would be through the roof. Sponsors would be through the roof. You couldn't beat it. As much as I like Mike and Tony, and they're great, I'll put our show up against anybody's in America. 5 days a week, Charles and I, on TNT, doing Charles and Sean Unleashed for 30 minutes a day. different, a little bit different format than what they do at PTI. But, you know, it's people copycat. David Letterman's on, Jay Leno's on. I mean, people putting talk shows at night. You make a few adjustments. But that would be radio at its finest. Or excuse me, TV at its finest. Not radio, TV. Getting after it. Opinion. We both respect each other, do Charles and I. We're friends, but we also are passionate and would get after it. There'd be things said on that show. It'd be the most popular TV show in on the planet. And probably, and because of Charles' name, obviously be popular. People tune in. They may not tune in for my name at first, but I'll promise you by the time we were done, that show couldn't go away. Be a staple. It'd be a staple. See, because I think I know more about the NBA than Charles does. Charles thinks he knows more about football than I do, and we both think we know more about baseball than Tim McCarver does. That's the way we are, and that's okay. Not in an arrogant way, but the preparation we think about it. We both think we know politics. We both think we know women, which I obviously don't. Been single too long to have any clue, but I can fool them and pretend like I know them. It would be unreal. Because what you do to get a show like that, you got to have opinion. It's 888-346-9144. Shoot, spread that word out there too. What you got to do to get a great show? You got to have great backing. And TNT's got it. You got to have talent that will go places with a big name. And with Charles, you got it. And with the passion, preparation, opinion, and not afraid of what somebody else will think about you, good or bad, with what you say. Because we may say we love Ben Roethlisberger, and everybody says, well, we hate you guys for loving Ben. That's okay. Him and I are both strong personality enough to do it. Can you imagine how good it'd be? Or even if it was on TNT, HBO, whatever. I'd love to do it on HBO. You could even be more unfiltered. But I'll go where Charles is, his contract's with TNT. Why wouldn't they want that on there? Isn't it all about advertising and sponsorship? Charles' name alone will get you all the sponsorship. But I can assure you, I'm the one guy that can give him all he can handle on TV. And he's one of my favorite people, one of my very dear friends of all the people that have been around for me after I went through my leaving ESPN and through some of the controversy and through the hard times. He's one of the few people that hung around. Charles, and I'm not name-dropping because you wouldn't know if I said my friend Steve or local, but I'm talking about with these people like Charles and the rest of them, guys like that who hung around through difficult times with their busy schedules and their superstars, and I'm far from it. I'll never forget it. Getting a text saying, hang in there, brother, and, you know, this stuff, don't pay attention. Those type of things go a long way. And if we put that show on TV, it would go through the roof. It would go absolutely through the roof. Somebody suggested to TNT, please. My dream show. I'm getting ready to do my dream show individually, but if I had a partner, that's the dream show. And if it was a football show, it would be Clayton and I doing a four-down show, just 30 minutes a day, just talking football. Because football is a year-round sport. With the draft and all this, John and I mean, that'd be it. But Charles knows football, so my first choice would be him and I at TNT doing a 30-minute show Monday through Friday along the lines of PTI, but even more opinionated and deeper into it. And if we had a subject like steroids and sports, then we could spend 15 minutes on it, battling back and forth. If we had a subject that bored us, we'd spend 45 seconds on it, no problem. And with all the things that go on, year-round, it'd be a killer. 888-346-9144. What do you think about that show? How about we get that thing? How about we get that buzz going and see if we can pull that one off? I just love, folks, I love to work. I absolutely love to work. I love my friends. I love you fans. I love to work. I love my kids. It's my number one priority, but I love to work. It's my passion. It's what I do. Aside from my kids and making sure we're all healthy and I can try to make a difference on somebody else's life is working. Because I don't consider talking about sports work. I consider it, that's what I do. It's my identity. Outside of being a dad, it's my identity. Face facts. As I told you on this show, Howard Stern says he's neurotic when it comes to his career. So am I. Not for the praise of the fans. To be able to look inside me and say, man, okay, that was a day. I loved doing that. It's what I love to do. I'm not very smart and I'm not very good, but I can tell you what, you won't find anybody who loves what he does and is more passionate than me. And sometimes that translates because there's plenty of people that are good but don't want to work and don't want to do what it takes to be great at it. I will. If I had more talent, it'd be great. But I'll tell you what, for lack of looks and smarts, I'll give you passion. You think about that show on TNT, Barkley and I doing what Wilbon and Kornheiser do in a different way, 30 minutes a day, year-round, and you tell me that's not a ratings bonanza with Charles' name on there. You guys would love it. Be a head-turner. This is Voice America Sports. We're coming back to finish this show up. And I'm off tomorrow. Anthony Perrano, are you listening? I'm giving you 2 hours of guest host tomorrow on your own or with a partner. I got to go announce the LFL champ of semifinals for MTV2. We're coming right back. We'll finish the show up. 888-346-9144. I'm Unfiltered. Charles Barkley, I want you 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week on TNT.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSauls@gmail.com. That's SeanSauls@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Finishes it up. What do you guys think, man? What do you think? Oh, Charles doesn't know yet. Man, I would sure love. To do a show with him. And I'm not, am I lobbying? I don't know about lobbying. But I think it'd be cool as hell to do one with Chuck. It'd be a great show. Charles loves to hear him. Charles loves to talk. We all know that. Doesn't he? Doesn't Chucky love to talk? That's okay, so do I. That's why I love him. He's got an opinion. And he's got a huge heart. Don't let him kid you. Do not let Chuck kid you. Huge heart. At my golf tournament, raising money for charity in San Diego to send kids to college, and we've sent over 50 on four-year scholarships to college. And my golf tournament was, the way I wanted to do it was to, and the people that I, you know, our sponsors and work with, was to get it to a point, where we had our people come to the event after the golf tournament, had great fun, where our kids that came and read their essay to the fans in the stands, where we actually showed where your money was going when we handed them their checks. And so what we decided we'd come up with, and we've taken a couple years off because of the financial situation in the country and sponsors just can't give that much money, but we'll start it back up again. And it was widely known as one of the funnest ones, but also a difference maker. And when you get Jim McMahon and Charles Barkley and Chris Berman and guys like these macho players in tears you know you're making a difference. So Charles got a huge heart. And we'd have up there, and what my foundation did was that we didn't want the 4.0 with the, at the time, I guess the SAT was 1600 when I took it, but now I think it's 2400. The change is done, but we didn't want that straight A student who was going to get money from everybody in the country. We wanted the person who was a 3.2 that made a C or a D as a freshman and improved and had been through controversy. And when I say controversy, adversity is a better way to put it, not controversy, adversity. That had struggled through something and overcome, whether it's a disease, whether it's a loss of a parent, whatever it is. And we'd have everybody, we'd send it all out, and people in San Diego County would send their essays in, and we'd choose essays, and, you know, depending on how much sponsorship money we have, 4, 6, 8, it just depended, and we'd just keep, you know, every year, and it was a one-year scholarship that we'd continue to expand for 4 years, as long as we kept getting, you know, the sponsorship money in. And, you know, when you have somebody that a daughter, a high school girl, and her little sister, the mother's being abused by the father for years, that the mother finally has had enough. The dad comes home drunk one night and abuses the mom. The mom shoots him and kills him while the kids are at home. Now, the abuse got to be too much. Well, the mother ends up in jail for 20-plus years. The father's dead, and so the daughter has to not only help raise her girl, but no money and has to go to college. She was one of our big winners one year, and you want to see it, you don't see a dry eye in the house. The point I'm telling you is that there's difference makers, and guys like that, when they come to events, make a difference, and they got to see where their money is. And when the guys like Charles Barkley are tearing up, you know you've made a difference, and these kids do make a difference. So aside from that and my kids, my own kids, my job is my passion, and I absolutely love it. And I'm blessed to have it, and I'm blessed with so many great fans, but I'm never going to let guests, celebrity guests, take away from what you guys bring to this show, and I never will. If a celebrity guest decides to want to come on here and tell me something good and have some fun, we'll do it. I'm not going to get a celebrity guest that doesn't tell me anything, because I can get Anthony and AC and James and Tim and SEC Girl. I can get a lot of great comments on here that tell me just as much inside information with a fan's twist, because the fans get dicked all the time. They have to pay the money and they get heard the least. Not on my show. They don't pay the money. And they sure as hell aren't going to get heard the least. I want to hear what somebody has to say, you know, from across the country. More so, I want to hear what Susie has to say in her email, because they're the ones that matter. Because you know what? Celebrities don't listen to much talk radio and stuff. The fans do. And I'm a people of the fans, man. I'm one of them. I've been broke, made money, had jobs, lost jobs. And while some may look at me as, oh, he's a celebrity, I don't get caught up in all that nonsense. And people who know me know I don't. Could care less about celebrity parties. Could care less about having somebody come up to me and you know, the jock sniffs. I could care less about that. I just love good people, man. And that's to do with my family. And I got great kids. Got special, special kids. I'm single, too. Maybe there'll be more kids in the offing for me. I think the problem with that is you got to find a woman that wants to bear them. But I'm a dad, and I love this show, and I love being, and we're only going bigger, folks. Trust me, at this time next year, not only this show, but TV, the comeback and the road back is not only going to be big, but it's going to be far better than it ever was. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. So I just spent the last 20 minutes telling you guys how grateful I am. So you guys are never going away, if I can help it, because your words get to be heard here. So that'll be it. Next thing, I'll find get somebody who has the time to help produce the show, wants to be a part of it and grow in this. We'll go through the interview process and do the same when it comes to intern. Because I can remember when I was coming out of college, boy, you'd beg to be on a show where you could have some free spirit and start to get reputation around that you had a black book and you could make calls and you could make a difference. It's a way to break in. So that'll be something I move forward to in 2011. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful we spread the word throughout college and campuses and businesses and all over the country from coast to coast and continue to make a difference, because this is where you're going to get your real opinion talk. And so grateful to Voice America Sports for letting me spew it. You want bullshit, fence sitting, turn on your local radio. Not that all of them do it. I don't mean it like that. You'll get a lot of it. But if you just want statistics, you know, tune in and watch ESPN News. That's not me. I don't care. You know what? Now that the Pittsburgh Steelers game's over, There's only a couple stats in the game that stick out in my mind. The rest don't matter. Bottom line is the one stat that matters. In the left column, it says Pittsburgh wins. In the right column, it said the Jets didn't. And it shows me that Roethlisberger can throw two picks and 133 yards and still win games. In golf with Tiger Woods, the stat isn't going to mean to me how many girls he banged and how many of them texted and sold him out and how many he messed. I don't care. I hope he gets his family right and the rest of it. What matters to me is, does the guy make a 7-foot right-to-left swinger? Not swinger meaning swinger club, but right-to-left swinger with a downhill lie on a putt on 18 to win it. That's what I care about. I don't care who he bangs. As long as it ain't me. I'm a lovemaker anyway, folks. I'm a Barry White listener lovemaker. That's are you a banger or a lover? What's it? Like I said, I love girl guy topics on here, and you know the real topics, and we talk about the celebrity thing, what people get caught up in this celebrity, why they like celebrities, or they get caught up in the one time we said, was a great topic and got so much feedback. Are you a cuddler or not? And for those who are just tuning in, and I've said it before, to me, any guy that cuddles over 20 minutes or 30 minutes a night, drinks martinis, and is in he got no game, and wears Prada when he's 30 pounds overweight. Probably has 14 gold chains dangling around his neck with fake gold. Can't be an over cozier is great, but you can't be an over cozier, can you? Don't you get sweaty and, you know, I mean, in truth, you cozy a little bit before you play, you cozy a little bit after so you don't feel bad. But you know what? The times are changing too. Women now, it's like, no, dude, don't cozy me. That's why I got a king, California king for a reason. Got a California king for a reason. Damn, take your side of the bed. I got mine, you got yours. Move on, dude. And then I want to get to the point, do women, that's going to be my topic next week, even during Super Bowl. You think about this. I'm not on the show tomorrow because I got to go to Jacksonville. Let me leave you with this. Do you prefer cozying? Do you prefer a rugged man or a pretty boy? Rugged man or pretty boy? Thanks to Voice America Sports. Thanks to all you and all that participated. I love you guys. I'll be back on the show Monday, and we'll be knocking it out of the park. It's Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury. We are unfiltered. You guys are the best fans on the planet. Remember Monday, aside from football talk, do you like pretty boys, ladies, or do you like the rugged man? Give it some thought over the weekend. I'm Sean Salisbury. It's Voice America Sports.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.